Our reading this morning can be found on page 1180 in our Bibles. We're continuing in Paul's letter to the Philippians in chapter 3, starting at verse 12 and going on to chapter 4, verse 1. No confidence in the flesh. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Right, well, good morning, and we're going to be looking at Philippians 3 and that passage that was read to us just now, and it's going to be really, really helpful if you keep the Bible open at that page, because I'm going to be pointing to a number of things that are actually written by Paul in the passage. I think it's on page 1180 in the Church Bibles, and so it'll be useful to do that. Remembrance Sunday. It kind of makes me mindful of a story that I heard. A young boy comes downstairs in the evening, and his mum and dad are downstairs, and he says, Dad, can you just tell me, how did the First World War start? And Dad, who thinks he knows a fair bit about things, says, well, you know, the Archduke Ferdinand of Austria-Hungary was assassinated in Serbia. And as a result of that, Austria attacked Serbia, and that brought Russia in on the side of Serbia, and Germany came in because of that, and then Britain and France came in as a result of that, and that's how the First World War started. And Mum, who also thought she knew a fair bit, says, well, do you know, dear, that's a bit of a simplification, isn't it, really? Because there were major geopolitical factors in all this. There was the clash of empires. There was the growth of nationalism in Europe. There was militarism and a huge rise in the arms race going on. And Dad says, look, please don't belittle me in front of our son. And Mum says, ha, it's always the same, isn't it? You want me to be the little woman at home. And she slams the plates down on the table. And Dad says, I've had enough of this. I'm off to the pub. And the little boy says, okay, Mum and Dad, I've understood now how the First World War started. Okay? Because wars, let's face it, past, present, and future wars, are caused by sheer, unbridled human nature that does not put God at the center where he should be. Is that right? Now, what I want us to focus on in this chapter of Philippians is that we're going to see Jesus Christ presented as Lord of our past, of our present, and our future. And the challenge is to you and me, do we want him to be Lord of our past and our present and our future? Because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and all stops between, of course. So, as I say, it's going to be useful to have our Bibles, and hopefully this is going to work now. And so we're going to look, first of all, at the fact that he is Lord of our past. And don't forget that Paul is writing to a group of Christians living in this town of Philippi. Now, I don't know, for you and me, I'm guessing it's true for everybody, as it is for me, is that our past is usually a mix of good and bad things. There's things we're ashamed of, and there's things we're glad about the past. And Paul, in this little chapter, in verses 4 to 6, he says, look, I was an Israelite, a Hebrew of Hebrews, I was a Pharisee, I was zealous for God. In fact, I was so zealous for God that I persecuted this church that I thought was a bunch of heretics. I was blameless. I kept the law in all its tiny details. And he says, actually, it got me absolutely nowhere with God. And he says this, whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. I count everything as loss. And he goes on to say, I count all this as rubbish or refuse, is what it says in verses 7 and 8 in the chapter there. And that word for refuse or rubbish is the Greek word skubala. Interesting word, skubala, rubbish. I'll come to that in a minute. And then in verse 13, he says, forgetting what lies behind. I leave it behind. And this is what God is saying, I think, to you and to me through this. That all our past failures, all our sins, all the wrong directions that we took in the past, just like Paul took all those terrible wrong directions, all the things that we're ashamed of, even if, you know, we thought it was the right thing, but it turned out it was wrong, he says, now you can forget that. When you come to Christ, you can forget it because he forgives. He blanks it out in the blood of Christ. As Nick was saying, the blood of Christ makes us clean. And verse 8, he uses that word rubbish or refuse. It's the word skubala in Greek. And what a word that is. Do you know what it means? It means dung, or less politely, excreta or feces. He says, that all that stuff that I thought was, you know, so good at one time and it turned out to be so bad, you know, it's just rubbish. It's the wrong currency. And so what God is saying to you and me is this. Maybe we just need to stop dwelling in the past, in our past failures, in the things that have gone wrong. Stop brooding over what might have been. Stop trying to justify ourselves for past actions. Because it's all skubala in the end. It's gone. It's washed away. And it's the same with when we go through our mind all the things that might have been. If onlys. Do you ever have those in your life? The if only this had happened. God says to you and me, this is your life. Not what might have been, or if only this had happened, that had happened. This is your life. Not some other life. And it's the same that sometimes we might dwell too much on the good things in the past as well, the great things, as though that's where we're still living. But we're not. It's good to remember, but don't dwell, don't try and live in the past. We can thank God for those things, but don't try to live in the past. We can leave our failures, we can leave our self-justifications, we can leave all the what-ifs behind, and we can thank God that he's cleansed us. But also, he's saying in here, in this passage, that there are some good things that he says have definitely happened to us in the past that have an eternal significance. Verse 12, he says, Christ Jesus has made me his own. And verse 16, he says, hold fast, or live up to, what you have attained. Because in the spiritual realm, there are two big things that Paul is talking about here that have happened for you and for me if we've discovered the living Christ. And the first is this, that Jesus Christ has made me his own. Verse 12, when you become a Christian, when I became a Christian, it seemed that we were opening the door to Jesus Christ. And that's how we see it in our minds. We're allowing him to come in and to take charge of our lives, to be our Lord. The reality, though, behind all that, is that Christ was breaking into our hearts. Christ was dissolving the barrier between you and me and God. He was breaking the door down. He was making himself real to us. As it says here, he was making me his own. We're under new ownership when we've come to Christ. Everything's changed when we come to Christ. It's the same old me, the same old you, but it's all new as well. We're forgiven. We've become a child of God when we know Jesus Christ. We know we're loved by God. We're beloved by God. We have eternal life, and we didn't have that before. We have a purpose given to us by God in our lives now. I know who I am because of Christ. I know why I am. I know where I'm going. And what this passage says is never, never forget that. And the second thing he says in verse 16, that's a reality now, he says, hold fast, or live up to, what you have attained. Don't go backwards, in other words, as a Christian. And boy, that happens to people, doesn't it? He's saying, don't go backwards, live up to what you have attained. You've come this far with God, and maybe this is something that one or two people here need to hear desperately. You've come this far with God. You've learned a lot. You've moved on a lot. Don't go backwards. There's things you've learned about loving God, about his faithfulness, about everyday discipleship, about keeping open channels with God, being in prayer, being in the Word. Do not go backwards. And the second thing, the second main thing of this is Jesus wants to be and is Lord of our present. We get the past into the right perspective. Now God says, live in the holy present. I love that phrase, live in the holy present. It's a key phrase. See, this moment now, today, even this moment where we're sitting here, is the time that God has chosen for us. This is the moment where God interacts with you and me, where he lives with us, where he carries us. Do you remember Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. When God revealed himself to Moses, he said, tell them that I am has sent you. God is the eternal present, and he lives with us in this present. So verse 8 in here, Paul talks about the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And verse 10, he says, knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection. Knowing Christ. And verse 9, he talks about having the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Because this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. See, right at the heart of the Christian faith is this encounter with the living Christ, isn't it? This is what it's all about. Because the big difference between being a religious churchgoer and being an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ is that you discover Jesus Christ is alive. And that may be a sudden thing, it may be a gradual thing we grow into, but there's a massive, massive difference. So we can meet him. We can get to know Jesus Christ more and more in the now. And here's the other thing as well, and that is that we're under construction still. In the present, in the here and now, we're under construction. I'm not perfect. You and I are not God's finished product, are we? We're being built little bit by little bit. And we can accept that for ourselves. We have to accept it for other people as well, that other people mess up as well. But that's okay, because we're under construction. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, when she was getting on in years, she was driving along, and she saw a sign on the road. There were some roadworks that had been going on. And the sign said this: "End of construction. Thank you for your patience." And she said, "I want that to be on my gravestone. End of construction. Thank you for your patience." And it is. She died in 2007, and there it is. Verse 16, Paul says, only let us hold true, let's live up to, let's base our lives on what we know of God, and let's build from there, because this is the holy present. This is where God wants to meet with you and me. And the third thing is this: he wants to be Lord of our future. We're all moving on in life, aren't we? I think. The days go by, the months go by, the years go by. I'm 69 and a half years old, and I don't know how that happened. I just don't know. I'm supposed to be 26, 27, but there's been this cosmic mistake. You know, I'm 69 and a half, and the years go by. Okay, so where am I heading for? What's coming? Paul says in verse 12 in that passage, I press on. I'm not perfect, but I press on to make it my own. He's talking about knowing Christ, becoming like Christ. I press on to make it my own. Verse 13, he says, one thing I do, straining forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Three times he's saying, I press on. I press on, I strain forward. Those are words of an athlete or of a chariot driver, you know, just trying to move forward, pressing on, straining forward. Now, here's the interesting thing. This is Paul writing this, pressing on, straining forward, pressing on for the prize of the upward call. Do you know where he was when he was writing that? He was in prison, in the dark, wearing chains, helpless. His health was not good. We know that he had eyesight problems, or we think he did. He knew he was facing the death penalty. His ministry outside was actually in danger of falling to pieces. The church he was writing to was actually under threat as well. And instead of being in a state of depression, he says, I'm pressing on. I'm straining forward. I've got this prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus that I'm pressing on to. And he says in verse 13, this is the one thing I do. So Paul understood that being a follower of Jesus Christ isn't a hobby. It's not like going to the gym or going to the golf club or whatever, you know, part-time activity. This is life. This is what we're here for. And there's always further to go. There's always deeper to go. There's always higher to climb in following him, pressing on, straining forward. But he says something else. Oh, by the way, David Livingstone, you know, the great missionary, he came back to the UK after one of his great trips abroad, and he was addressing a meeting, and somebody said, Mr. Livingstone, where do you want to go now? And he said, I'm ready to go anywhere, provided it be forward. Pressing on, straining forward. But there's something else about the future that I want to kind of conclude with, and that's in verse 20. And 21. He says, our citizenship is in heaven. Verse 20. He says, we are awaiting a savior from there. Verse 21. He says, he will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Verse 21. He says, he will bring everything under his control, subject all things to himself. Because what Paul is saying here is actually, you don't belong here in this world. And that's why all the best things that life can offer you and me just kind of leave you a bit dissatisfied in the end. Because you and I belong to another city, to another kingdom. Our citizenship is in heaven. And listen, the pages of scripture, if you listen carefully, they're kind of rustling with this message, with this news, with this excitement. You know, if you listen carefully, you can almost hear it. The king's coming back. He's standing at the doors. He's ready to burst in. He's going to roll up this old universe like an old rag and bring in a new heaven and a new earth. And he's going to transform our bodies. No more death. No more disease. No more sadness. No more decay. No more war. No more hatred. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, that's better than anything you and I could ever dream of. Think of the last time you went to the cinema. I can remember one of the best films I've ever seen, Lord of the Rings. You all seen Lord of the Rings? And I remember being absolutely bound up in Lord of the Rings. I was almost up there on the screen living it with them, you know, in the battles and the triumphs and all the rest of it. And then you get to the end of the film and the lights come on and you go outside and there's reality. And you realize all that stuff that you were so bound up with was just lights and shadows. And that's what it's going to be like when Christ comes again. We'll suddenly realize that all of this that we took so solidly, in a sense, is just shadows. What C.S. Lewis called shadowlands. Because the reality is going to be something else altogether. Jesus Christ is Lord of our past, our present, and our future. And so the 60-second sermon right at the end, and we're nearly finished, but if you forget everything else, remember this. Get our past in the right perspective under God. He's the Lord of our past. Forget all our failures. Forget brooding over all the if-onlys. Thank God for what he's done for us, the journey so far, and stand firm. Don't go backwards. He's Lord of our present. Get our present in the right form. Live in the holy present. God says, get to know my son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, press forward, strain forward. Get to know him more and more. And he says, he's Lord of the future. Get the future in the right focus. Press on, strain forward, the upward call. Whatever it takes to follow Jesus Christ. Whatever your age, your health, your circumstance, press forward, strain forward. And always, always, always remember that the best is yet to come. Why? Because the King is coming back. Amen.
Thanks, Glenn. Okay. Thanks, Glenn. We've taken longer because we've done remembrance this morning, and I'm conscious we've got the other service coming in, so we need to just cut things and reshape things a little bit. So I think rather than singing a hymn now, we'll go to the prayers. So who's leading? Is that all right, Andy? Thank you.